Today on Real Life Radio.
You cannot read Genesis to Revelation without the star of the book of the Bible. And that star of the book of the Bible is Jesus Christ.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Book of Revelation with a message called When the Saints Go Marching In. Jesus has revealed to us who he is all throughout the Bible, and the Book of Revelation is no exception. Through the Apostle John, Revelation tells us just how radical and dynamic Jesus really is. You see, John is now given a whole new perspective. From heaven's vantage point, John is looking down, and there's an undeniable shift between what's happening on earth and what happens to the church. How will we as saints go to heaven? John tells us that it's going to be at the moment of the rapture when we're all taken up and we'll be forever with the Lord. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack tells us that there are a few key things that we know so far about the book of Revelation, that all those who read the book will be blessed, that we'll know when something is not literal but symbolic, and that Jesus is ultimately revealed as the Creator God of all things. And now in his message called When the Saints Go Marching In, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Book of Revelation, we come, Lord, now to a chapter that, Lord, as Christians, we can scarcely contain ourselves. Father, we pray that you would possess, Lord, the going forth of your word this morning, and Lord, that you would enable us as believers to receive it and to do it. And Lord, quite frankly, for this portion of Scripture, may we receive the encouragement that it was intended to give. We thank you that thousands of years ago, the Holy Spirit authored this to the Apostle John. And we thank you, Lord, that your Holy Spirit is alive and present today to cause us to be not only hearers of the word, but doers. So, Father, bless now. We ask in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Revelation chapter 4 this morning. Revelation chapter 4, we are in the first three verses of a tremendous and vital portion of not only the book of Revelation, but the entire Bible itself. Revelation chapter 4. I don't know what you're hoping in this morning. I know that for each and every one of us, we are hoping in someone or something. And you might say, well, no, I'm not. Actually, I'm quite hopeless today, and that's what brought me here. That's not true. No matter how defeated or how alone you might feel, the truth of the matter is you are searching for hope, and it is that very search for hope that brings you hope. And the important thing is this morning that you understand that Jesus Christ is your hope. And Jesus Christ has revealed himself in the Bible. The Bible says in the book of Psalms, as in the book of Isaiah, the book of Hebrews, where it's quoted again, where behold, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. And that's a reference to Jesus Christ. You cannot read Genesis to Revelation without the star of the book of the Bible. And that star of the book of the Bible is Jesus Christ. And he is your hope, if you know that or not. Well, if you're a Christian this morning, we're going to be hearing a lot about hope. We're going to be hearing a lot about the reason why Revelation chapter 4 is in the Bible, and it's a fantastic and exciting portion of Scripture. If you're taking notes this morning, jot it down there at the top regarding the title of the message, and that is When the Saints Go Marching In. And brother, that's exactly what chapter 4 is all about. When the saints go marching in, that is into heaven. Before we get into reading the text that's before us, keep this in mind, note takers, jot it down. 1 Corinthians 15 is a great commentary on the Bible. It's best that you understand that the best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And 1 Corinthians 15 verse 51 is a great commentary on what we're going to be studying today. Paul the Apostle says there in 1 Corinthians 15, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven." Nobody in their flesh and blood will be able to go into heaven. It's impossible. This spacesuit, so to speak, doesn't work there. You'll never make it there. Nor does corruption, that is a reference to this life, filled with sin, filled with death and decay, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. He's telling us that something's got to change. Something's got to happen before we leave this earth and get into heaven. He says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption, and Paul would no doubt be pointing to his body at that moment, this skin, this body must put on incorruption, and this mortality must put on immortality. The Apostle Paul is teaching us that a change has got to happen. And as we look at the book of Revelation, there are really five key things that we've come to know already in just a few chapters of this book. Five key things. Number one will be this, that all those who read this book and hear this book read, the Bible says, the book of Revelation says of itself, will be what? Blessed. Number two is that when something is symbolic or typological, it says so, as we shall see in our study in this chapter. The third thing that we know already in the study of this book is that Jesus Christ is revealed as the Creator God of all, found in the opening chapters of the book of Revelation. The fourth thing is that Jesus has written these seven letters that we've just finished studying, these far-reaching letters, even to this age in which you and I live in and how it applies to our own lives. Jesus, in chapters 2 and 3, wrote seven letters to seven churches. And if you want to know more about that, then get the tapes and the CDs of these last weeks together. And then number five, that there's a divine outline to the book of Revelation that you do not need to guess about. And that is key to our study this morning. That there is a divine outline given in the book of Revelation by Jesus himself on how you and I can understand the book. And that's found in Revelation chapter 1, verse 17 to 19. Revelation 1, 17 to 19. John says, and when I saw him, that is Jesus, I fell at his feet as dead. That is, John was petrified. But Jesus laid his right hand upon me and he said to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. I have the keys of hell and death. Now listen, verse 19. Write the things which you have seen. That's chapter 1 of the book of Revelation. And here comes part 2. The things which are. Write the things that you've seen, that's chapter 1. The things that are, that's in relation to the church, the seven letters of the seven churches. The divine outline, part 2, is chapter 2 and chapter 3 of this book. But he goes on. He introduces John to part 3. And write the things which will take place after this or after these things. The book of Revelation is divided up from chapter 1 to chapter 22 in three distinct divisions. The first part, the things which are, chapter 1. The second division, the things that are, the things that have been, or the things that you've seen, excuse me, chapter 1. The things that are, that is current regarding the churches, and the things that shall be hereafter, or after these things, the third division, listen, begins at chapter 4, verse 1, all the way out to the end of chapter 22. The divine three-part division to the book of Revelation given by Jesus himself in Revelation 1:19. Important thing to know. Now, let's look at our text this morning. Very important, very exciting portion of Scripture. Revelation chapter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And I heard was like, or that which was like, a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately, John says, I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on it, on that throne, and he who sat there, verse 3, was like jasper and a sardis stone in appearance, and there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. There is an undeniable transition, Bible student, that takes place here in Revelation 4, beginning at verse 1. And what you need to ask yourself as a question is this undeniable transition that we see, and we'll look at it closely this morning, that takes place, has happened already in chapter 4, verse 1. So there's something that's gone on. something of great magnitude, something of great change, a great transition from the closing verse of Revelation chapter 3 to the opening verse of chapter 4. Now, you may have various different Bible upbringings or persuasions. It doesn't matter. The question is, what has happened from the end of chapter 3 to the beginning of chapter 4? Something radical, something dynamic, something that will change our lives forever with hope if we understand it. And remember, this is a prophetic book, and God has given this book that we might have understanding. For many of you, perhaps, that are visiting this morning, maybe you've been brought up in a denominational background that says you can't understand the book of Revelation. That's not true. That's not true at all. First of all, why would God say, blessed are all those who read it and those who hear the book read? Why would he give prophecy if you can't understand it? No, you see, my friend, two indictments are upon us as Christians. Number one, we will never understand the book of Revelation unless we've read from Genesis to Malachi, the Old Testament. You read the Old Testament, you're going to understand the book of Revelation. The second thing is, you got to read the book of Revelation. You got to get into it. Everything we find in this book is found in other places of the Bible. So keeping that in mind, something has happened. There's a great, strong change. And we're going to be looking at that right now this morning. In your notes, jot this down. Our first point together is found in verse 1. When the saints go marching in, it will be at the moment of the rapture. Will you jot that down? Chapter 4, verse 1 is a direct, clear teaching about the rapture of the church. And you can't avoid it. After these things, I looked and behold a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like that of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. You can't escape it. This tremendous moment, John's perspective completely changes from this moment. John has been teaching us about the Revelation, chapter 1. Then he's been teaching us about the church on earth, and he's been giving us, by the Holy Spirit, heart-searching diagnoses from Jesus. Now something's happened, and it has to do with him being removed from the earth, and now his vantage point is completely different than what it has been. From here on out, John will be talking to us, looking down out of heaven to the earth. You ought to mark that down. That is significant. Whatever happens between chapter 3 and chapter 4 changes the Apostle John's perspective. That's a great, great clue to what we're studying. By the way, from here on out, oh, it gives me a great deal of pleasure to tell you this. From here on out, you will never again find the church referred to in the book of Revelation on earth. You will find the church in heaven. You will find the church, we the church, worshiping God in heaven. And the next glimpse we get of the church is found in Revelation chapter 19. And guess where she is, the bride of Christ? In heaven, worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and mounting up upon horses, the Bible says in Revelation 19. And a door, yet another door, opened up in heaven, and the church with Jesus Christ coming out of heaven, returning to earth. The question is, the $64,000 question is, how did the church ever get to heaven? The answer is in the opening sequence of Revelation chapter 4, nestled there between the close of chapter 3. It's very exciting, very hopeful. And so as we look at this, if that's the, by the way, the $64,000 question, the answer is priceless. The church is in heaven. And I tell you, the more you understand this, the more crazy you're going to get about the Lord's return. The more happy you're going to be. The more hope-filled you're going to be. By the way, the more involved you're going to get. The more worshipful you're going to become. Did you know this, church, that we are to worship for many, many reasons, but the preeminent reason is that we might bless God? Did you know that? You may have said it this morning, say, well, I don't know if I like that song. That song had nothing to do with you at all. That song had to do everything with God. It had to do with you giving it to God. Did you give those worship songs to God? They weren't for you to take. They're His. Oh, come, let us adore Him, we sang. Man, that's a great worship hymn, isn't it? It's all directed to Him. And I want to encourage you to get involved in worship. You want to know why? Until we go to heaven by hook or by crook. I mean by rapture or by rupture. If we die or we get raptured. If we break down or we get taken up. You know what? It's all practice right now. We are going to be worshiping God in heaven forever, and you better get into it. You better learn the songs, you know. That's an important thing. For all 10 of us who just clapped that worship, praise the Lord. When the saints go marching in, that's you and I, into the kingdom of heaven, it's going to be via the rapture. And these things are important. Number one, jot it down. The timing is important. The timing will be of God. It says in verse 1, after these things. In the Greek, it is meta tauta. Very strong word. After these things, meta tauta, meaning when the church things just previously mentioned are concluded, the rapture will take place. We will find ourselves in heaven. A very strong word that Jesus uses here, meta tauta. When the church age is complete, then something's going to happen. What should we expect next as a church in the age in which you and I live in? In light of all that we've studied regarding the letters of the seven churches, at any moment we believe in the doctrine taught in the Bible of the imminent return of Christ for his church. So it's kind of interesting. I read an old time commentator, old time Bible teacher. He said regarding verse 1, chapter 4, after these things, after what things, he said. And you can't get away from the fact that it's a reference to the fact that Jesus is dealing with the church on earth. But something radical changes. Seven times to the seven churches in the Bible, it says this. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the what? Churches. That's never again spoken from chapter 4 on. Never again. Isn't that interesting? If the church was on earth, don't you think that Christ would still be speaking to the church? But the church is not spoken to from chapter 4 verse 1 onward. The church is not referenced, as I said earlier, except in heaven. How did they get there? So seven times Jesus says to the seven churches, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But listen, after chapter 4, verse 1, the only thing that comes close is found in Revelation 13, 9, and it says this, if anyone has an ear, hear the difference? If anyone's got an ear, let him hear. The announcement is made during the tribulation period, not to the church, but now it's mentioned to each individual. If anybody has got an ear to hear, Jesus says, let him hear. Why? Because during the tribulation period, people will come to Christ, much like you do now, independently, individually. But there's not a church that's comprised at that time. There is no church on earth during the tribulation period. There's a body of believers. But according to the Bible, the church has been raptured. And you say, well, I'm confused about that. Well, you ought to come out on Wednesday nights as we're going through what Christians believe. And we've been studying this very thing. It just happens to be the same, nearly the same topic. There are the Old Testament saints referred to in the Bible. They're not part of the church. There is what's called the tribulation saints that come to know Christ during the tribulation period. They're not of the church. But there is the church age believers, the saints at this period of time from Pentecost to the moment of the rapture that is referred to as the bride of Christ, the church. And that's who you are if you're a Christian today. The church age believer. Nowhere are they found in the book of Revelation from chapter 4 on. Very important thing. If timing is everything, keep this in mind. Then understanding this portion of Scripture is paramount, knowing that you cannot, church, listen, that you cannot find any further passage from here on out in the book of Revelation referring to the church unless you do damage to the Scripture. And by the way, cults are famous for this. Another thing is certain denominations. I won't name them. I'll tell you later. But their very background, their very foundation of their belief system as a denomination or denominational movement, they see the church going all the way through the tribulation period and they have to do damage to the Bible, which, by the way, when you do that, it's the same denominations that have a problem with you having security in the Lord in heaven. Because they start to manipulate the Scriptures so much that they do damage to other portions of biblical truth. Very important. Read the Bible, believe what it says, and don't let anybody persuade you otherwise. Research it and see. The timing will be of God. Number two, the place will be with God. That's the wonderful thing about the rapture. It's taking us to glory. The place will be with God. When the saints go marching in, it will be at the moment of the rapture, and that place that we're going to will be with the Lord. John says, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like that of a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, or come up in some of your Bibles. And so that is, no doubt, the very next event that pertains to the church on the global scene. That a door, according to the book of Revelation, a door, John says, I saw a door open up in heaven. And then I heard something. And what I heard was the invitation, come up here. And I mentioned the word invitation almost with my tongue in cheek. It sounds like, like it's an option. You want to come up or not? You want to come? Oh, come on up. Oh, no, it is a strong military command. It pertains to the Christian who, listen, the Holy Spirit residing in, when that command is given, the Holy Spirit will obey the command of Christ, and you're going up. The Holy Spirit resides in you. You will be deposited into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, just like Jonah was spit up on the coast of the Mediterranean. The Holy Spirit will see to it. That's his job. You know, Jesus lived 33 1/4 years here on earth, and then he went back to heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, who's been here for 2,000 years in our lives and around us, and convicting the world, says the Bible. John says, I saw a door open. Mark down these verses, if you would. Listen to the urgency of this. As I said, it's a military command. Come up here. Revelation 2, verse 5. Revelation 2, 5. Behold, I come to you quickly. That's an urgent statement. Revelation 2:16, behold, I will come to you quickly. That's an urgent statement too. Revelation 3:3, behold, if you do not watch, I will come upon you as a thief. That's serious. Notice the urgency that Christ speaks. Revelation 3:11, behold, I am coming quickly. That's even more urgent as we go along in the Bible. He's warning and encouraging for us to be ready. Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. He's not only coming, but to a rebellious, dead church of the Laodiceans, the Bible says Jesus is knocking on the door, trying to get into that church. How pathetic is that? That Christ couldn't even get into one of his churches. Urgency regarding his coming, regarding his presence. Now the announcement is given to John, come up here. Wouldn't it be awesome today if we heard that? We start hearing a trumpet. That's a pathetic thing, but you know, Dan was wailing on that saxophone this morning. I love that sound. I just love that. Why? Because you know what? I'm thinking about that. In fact, he's playing the saxophone. I put my hands up. Why? Because you know what? Heaven, there's horns in heaven. There's announcements, there's praises, there's worship, there's angels bowing down saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. The 24 elders are casting their crowns before the Lord, falling on their faces, praising God. And we sit here, well, I don't know. Well, when's the service going to get over? It's just starting. No, don't say that.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio in his message called, When the Saints Go Marching In. Thanks for taking the time to be with us today. We really appreciate it. When the Saints Go Marching In is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Revelation. It's a series on the final book of the New Testament and the unveiling of future events for us and for the world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, the first thing the enemy wants to do is steal our unity. The Bible makes it clear that a unified church is a blessed church. When we are unified, there's love, there's forgiveness, and generosity. But disunity, it's toxic, and it's confusing. Now, one way to stay connected is to go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab that's labeled Connect. Once you're there, you can share a personal note with Pastor Jack. You can also connect with us through Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And watch Pastor Jack's sermons with thousands of others all over the globe through the live stream. Now, there's so many ways to connect, including signing up for our special updates. So, engage with us as we continue in the Book of Revelation series and the work of the ministry here on Real Life Radio. Why don't you check all that out when you get a chance at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.